Some of you are familiar with the Bible app, YouVersion. You may have that on your phone. And toward the end of last year, they reported what was the most popular Bible verse in 2024. So this morning, I want to talk about the most popular Bible verse in 2024 that was reported on that app. Websites and apps, of course, track the traffic that is used on their platforms. If you're not aware of that, you are now, so you're being tracked. And they use that information, not always in a bad way, they use that information to better their services and so forth. So at the end of 2024, they reported the most popular Bible verse. And it's actually similar to what was reported the year before and the year before. What would you think would be the most popular Bible verse that was searched and read and looked up, that type of thing? It was Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, if you'll turn with me there. We're going to talk this morning about worry and anxiety. It's something that is very common in individuals. I'm sure we've all experienced that. And as much as we tell ourselves don't do it, we end up doing it by the end of the day. And it's something that is a part of a lot of people's lives. Both Jesus said not to do it and the Apostle Paul. This story that was taken up on several news outlets, this particular one was by Christian Broadcast Network News at the end of last year. This Talia Wise reported an article entitled Bible App Engagement Spikes, and the most read verse of 2024 says a lot about our world. Popular Bible app YouVersion says it has seen more people engage with the Bible this year than ever before, drawing closer to God through His Word and through prayer features on the app. Developers of the Bible app point out that the most popular verse from 2024 reveals that people have been seeking God's comfort in tumultuous times. This year, the most searched scripture was Philippians 4:6. It reads, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God." YouVersion founder and CEO Bobby Grunewald believes it shows that people are more likely to turn to God when they face anxiety and daily struggles. In many cases, our anxiety comes from holding on to worries that we aren't meant to carry, said Grunewald. To me, this verse being sought out the most this year is an illustration that our community is seeking God in prayer and choosing to trust Him to carry their burdens, and we're seeing that supported in the data. Other Bible websites and software reported the same thing. Bible Gateway reported the same thing, and the Logos Bible software did as well, that people are searching verses dealing with how to handle anxiety and worry. And they've been doing that since, what year do you think that there was a spike in anxiety and worry? It all started around 2020. So the last 4 to 5 years, this has been a problem. And so this morning, I want us to take a look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 in context. We're going to look at the broader picture of worry in the New Testament. And then we're going to focus in on Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. What this is saying, brethren, is that many people are living with anxiety. That's one thing that it's saying. And what it's saying is there's a lot of people out there that are living with worry and anxiety. And these are people who are using the Bible app. Think about the millions that aren't using the Bible app and all of the worry and anxiety that's in their life, and that's not even being reported. This story that I mentioned earlier goes on to talk about how that worldwide, there are several million that are using YouVersion, which is a good thing. Millions of people using this app, and this is the verse that gets searched among so-called believers. Think about people in the world that aren't believers and the problems that they're going through. What does this story say? Well, it says that many people realize that the Bible can help them, and that's a good thing. They're turning to God and His Word for help, and that's a good thing. People turn to all kinds of other things that are not going to help their anxiety and their worry. And those things that they're turning to are just going to make it worse. So it's good that people are wanting to seek out God and God's Word. It also says that many people need our help. Here's a great opportunity, brethren. Here's an open door for us. We are living in a society that needs help in so many ways. You have co-workers and classmates and neighbors and friends and family that are going through a lot of different problems, and you can be there to help them with your Christianity and with God's Word. We have the expression, strike while the iron is hot. That's a blacksmith's expression. That when that iron gets really hot, it's pliable, and that's when you need to strike it on the anvil. You can move it. You can mold it, and we need to strike while the iron is hot. This is an opportunity in our culture to help many people. Let's be doing that. We build ourselves up in here, which is great, and we encourage ourselves. We gain more Bible knowledge, and we gain encouragement, but we need to take that to people outside this building. And it also tells me, when I look at these verses again, that many people are going to be lost over anxiety. We need to be reminded this morning that these are commands. When Paul says in Philippians 4, verse 6, in nothing be anxious, that's in the imperative. That's a command. And wouldn't it be a shame that we end up in the Lord's Day, on the Judgment Day, and we walk up to that bar on high, and that's the very thing that keeps us out of heaven, is violating Philippians 4, 6. Wouldn't that be a shame? We weren't a liar, and we weren't a thief, and we weren't a fornicator, and we weren't a murderer, and we didn't use bad words, but we walk up to the bar on high, and the Lord says, well, I'm sorry, you violated Philippians 4, 6. You were always worrying. You were always having anxiety in your life. So it's a reminder this morning that to take a look at something that's very common, and let's learn how to handle that in the proper way. When we get to Philippians chapter 4, you're going to find that Paul, he doesn't say God is just going to take it all away. You'll never have worry and anxiety. That's not what he's going to say. He's going to tell you how to handle that and what to do with that when it comes up. This word anxiety, you might have a version that says worry or anxiety. It comes from a word that literally means cares, to be caring about something. And when you look up this word in the New Testament, you find that it's not always used in a bad sense. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 25, Paul says that we are to have the same care one for another in the local church. We need to care about things. And some cares and concerns are very good. We need to care about our brethren and care one for another. Some local churches don't have that. I hope we here at Warfield Boulevard have that, where we care one for another. That's going to involve us talking to our brethren and staying in touch with them and asking them how they're doing and can I help you? And we want to be like that at Warfield Boulevard. We need to have the same care one for another. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 28, the Apostle Paul, out of all the persecutions that he suffered, at the very end he says, and I have the care of all the churches. What a great thing that Paul cared for his brethren. He would write them letters and he would make trips to see them and he would send individuals to help them. Paul cared about his brethren, and we need to do the same. If you just turn back a couple of chapters in this very same book, in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 20, looking at the example of Timothy. He talks about how that I don't have anyone like-minded who will care truly for your state. That's the same word used in Philippians 4:6. There's nothing wrong with having cares and concerns. The question is, what are we caring about and what are we concerned of? We need to care for our brethren. We need to be careful and concerned for the things of the Lord. And typically in your Bible, when this word or this concept is used in a positive way, it's typically translated care. But when it's in a context of something that is negative, something that we should not be doing, it's translated usually anxiety or worry. It's the same idea, though. Turn with me to Luke chapter 10 and verse 41. There are cares and concerns that distract and divide. And so those are not good. Okay? Those are bad for us. When the care and the concern takes us away from God or keeps us from doing God's word and God's will, keeps us from obeying the gospel, then we're caring about the wrong thing. You may recall that when Jesus came to the home of Mary and Martha, that Martha was cumbered about, Luke 10:40, a word that means distracted. She was cumbered about with much serving, and she came up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister did leave me alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." But the Lord answered, "Martha, Martha, thou art anxious and troubled about many things." These cares that she had for making sure the house was clean and the food was prepared and all of that kind of thing, it was taking her away from listening to the Lord. Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet and listening to Jesus, 41 and 42, but she wasn't. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. This word also, in this family of words, it means to be distracted. This comes out in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 when the Apostle Paul is encouraging under the present distress not to marry. Paul is not saying in this chapter, don't ever get married or marriage is not good. He extols marriage in other places. But in this particular context, it's a section dealing with under the present distress, which is most likely some form of first century persecution that they're going through. Under that circumstance, it's best not to marry. But look at what he says and the reason for that. Verse 32, but I would have you to be free from cares. It's the same word that we're looking at. He that is unmarried is careful for the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married is careful for the things of the world, how he may please his wife, and is divided. I want you to underscore that in your Bible because that's the same word that we're studying this morning. It means to have cares to the point that you're divided and distracted. In that situation, it's bad. And when that kind of care comes into our life that distracts us, it divides us from being the Christian that we need to be or serving God in the best way possible, we need to get rid of that in our lives. Yes, care for your brethren. Yes, care for the things of the Lord. But let's not care for the things of this life to the point to where we are distracted from doing what we need to do. Or divided. And what this Bible app is telling us is that there's a lot of people that are weighed down and burdened with anxiety and worry. And they're looking for some help. Turn with me to the scripture reading that we have this morning in Luke chapter 12. What is the problem with anxiety and worry? This cares that divide us and distract us in a bad sense. What is the problem? Well, number one, we learn from Jesus that it will keep us from putting God first. When we're distracted and we have cares on things, certain things of this life, we're not going to put God first. And so in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, and the parallel idea here is in Luke chapter 12, that Jesus said, you're not to have these cares and concerns for food, shelter, and clothing that takes you away from putting God first in your life. We're to serve God, not mammon. And at the end, we're to put the kingdom first. Seek first the kingdom, and all of these things will be added unto you. Yes, we need to, this week, you need to go to the store and get some groceries. You need to eat, and you need to have clothing, and you need to have shelter. We take care of the basic things of this life, but we're not distracted on those things. We're not going after that to the point where we're distracted from putting the kingdom first. Our service to God and our assembling here and our attendance and our Bible reading and our living the Christian life and all of the things that are involved in the kingdom. And in our scripture reading, verse 22, be not anxious or do not worry. The Lord can take care of the birds of the heaven. The Lord can take care of the flowers of the field. How much more is He going to take care of us? That doesn't mean be irresponsible. That doesn't mean don't get up tomorrow and go to work. But don't be divided and distracted. When we have anxiety and worry in our life, we're not going to let the Word of God get down into our heart. We're not going to benefit from the Word of God. Turn with me to the parable of the sower in Matthew chapter 13. This word is used there. The Word of God cannot work in my life when I'm distracted and divided and when I'm constantly worrying about this and worrying about that. At that very moment, God's Word cannot work in my life. It's like a blockade. And so in this teaching of the parable of the sower, in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 22, the seed falls on the heart that's like a thorny ground. And he that was sown among the thorns, that is he that hears the word and the care of the world. That's this word that we're looking at. The care of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and he becomes unfruitful. This is the care of the world that's in a bad sense. And God's word is not working in my life when I'm constantly caught up with the cares of the world that divide and distract me. And I at the end of the day, I realize, oh, I haven't obeyed the gospel. Well, what have you been worrying about? Well, I'm worrying about this and worrying about that. Well, have you obeyed the God? Oh, I haven't done that. It gets us so distracted that the very important things of life, obeying the gospel or coming back to the Lord or living faithfully each day, it gets shoved off to the side because I'm constantly focused on this thing of this life. And so it's a very serious thing. When it keeps me from putting God first, and when it keeps God's Word from working in my life, that's a very serious thing. And apparently, based upon this Bible app, it's quite prevalent. And we didn't need this survey at the end of last year to tell us that there's a lot of worry and anxiety out there. We didn't need that, but it just confirms what we already know. What does this say? And this is serious. There are so many people, they're going to be distracted with the things of this life that they're not ready for the coming judgment day. Now, Luke chapter 21, verse 34, if you'll turn with me there, Jesus is talking about the destruction of Jerusalem. But the principle is going to be the same at the end of time when He comes in the second coming. This is the destruction of Jerusalem. But it's going to be the same point, that there are going to be many people who are not ready for the Lord to return. But take heed to yourselves, lest haply your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly as a snare. Just enjoying the things of this life and then caught up with the cares of this life. You're not going to be ready for the Lord to come. And so he encourages watching, verse 34, and vigilance and supplication and being ready. But when the Lord comes at the second coming, there's going to be a bunch of people at work and school and sitting in their house all worried about this and worried about that, and they're not ready for the judgment day. So it's a serious thing. It can keep us from putting God first. It can keep God's Word from working in our life, and it can keep us from being ready for the judgment day. So this morning, we would do well to look at what has become the most popular verse in 2024. Turn with me now to Philippians chapter 4. Let's look at this passage in context. Let me say something about how we look at our Bible. What I'm about to say, we could certainly be guilty of with what we call a traditional Bible. This is a traditional Bible. And what I'm about to say, we could be guilty of with regard to a traditional Bible. But I think it's more so when we look at the Bible on our phone, or when we look at the Bible online or on an app, and that is, we tend to just look at the verse that we want to look at. And we can be guilty of that in a traditional Bible reading. But be careful about that. People are searching for just one verse to read. And that app will help them find that verse, but maybe they're not reading above or they're not reading below. So let's make sure that regardless of how God's Word is getting into our life, that we read the context. And so we're going to look at this famous verse, verse 6, but we're going to look at 4 through 7. We're going to look at the context, and it's going to help us to handle this matter. There's all kinds of things that a person could worry about. Their health, their job, their things, car, house, their kids. There's just a bunch of stuff that you could worry about. What does Paul say to help this matter? It's going to come up in life. How do we deal with this? And we certainly don't want to be found in the judgment day having been living in such a way that we're violating this passage. That would be a shame. So it's very important that we consider it. So let's look at Philippians chapter 4, 6 in context. First of all, the Apostle Paul says, rejoice. In verses 1 through 3, he has been talking about some admonitions for individual members there at Philippi. Starting in verse 4, he's going to begin to talk about some instructions for the entire congregation as a whole. And when he does that, he opens up with the word rejoice. In the book of Philippians, the word rejoice is found in every chapter. Some form of joy or rejoice is found in every chapter of the book of Philippians. That is the theme of Philippians. The Christian's joy in Christ. The first thing he says is, rejoice in the Lord always. We've got to learn to be happy. Being happy will help with our anxiety. Now, we're going to modify that and qualify that here in just a minute, what kind or where this happiness is found, but just start right there. I just need to be a more happy person. And that's going to help with my worry and my anxiety. And then the Apostle Paul says, where this is found. Listen, brethren, these promises that are given here in 4 through 7 are not given to everybody in the world. They're given to those who are in the Lord. That's very, very important. You are not going to have the promises of verses 4 through 7 unless we're a Christian. That is very important. And our world needs to hear that. And when we have someone in our life that is borne down with anxiety and worry, one of the first things that we can help them with is, friend, you need to become a Christian. That's going to help so much. Getting your mind on the things of Christ is going to help you so much. In verse 4, in the Lord, and then look at the last part of verse 7, in Christ Jesus. We are baptized into Christ, Romans 6, 3 and 4, and Galatians 3, 26 and 27. We have to be baptized into Christ, and we have to be living in that realm for these things to work. We're not going to have, when we get later in just a minute to the peace that passes all understanding and all of that, we're not going to have any of that if we just stay out in the world. We're not going to have it. And so we've got to talk with people about being a faithful Christian each day. It starts with being baptized into Christ, and we live as faithful as we can each day. That's going to help us with our anxiety. Because if we get up each day and we're trying to deal with, well, health problems and age problems and job and this and that, we're not going to get any help with that if we're constantly walking around with the burden of sin. If sin has not been washed away in baptism, we've got that to deal with. That's the core problem. And we're trying to work with something out here. Well, age or health or... Wait a minute. We've got this core problem that we've got to get rid of. And there's always that nagging mental conscience that God gives us. I've got sin in my life. When we deal with that first, then we get help with all that other. So it's not just a matter of, well, I'm going to look up on my Bible app how to deal with worry. Well, Philippians 4, 6. There's some other things. And I need to be happy. And true happiness comes when I'm in the Lord. This is not happiness because I went out and went on a shopping spree and I bought a bunch of stuff at the mall. It's rejoice in the Lord. Things do not truly make us happy. Read the book of Ecclesiastes. Solomon said, I bought anything I wanted. I made anything I wanted. I owned everything that I could own. And he said, it's vanity if you don't have a right relationship with God. There are people in this country who are born down with anxiety and worry. And they own all kinds of stuff. They got tons of money, and they own all kinds of stuff, but they're loaded down with anxiety and worry. It's happiness in being a Christian. And then Paul says, always. Now this is a challenge, I'll admit. There's a lot of times during the day or during the week where it's easy to be happy, but he says always, when we will be constant and consistent, when we will be constant and consistent, this is going to help us with our anxiety. We're not going to be controlled or limited by circumstances. It could be a wildfire in California. It could be a hurricane in North Carolina. It could be a number of things. But we're not going to let circumstances control us and limit us and mold us and make us. We're aware of circumstances and we live within our circumstances. We don't put our head in the sand and act like they don't exist, but we're not going to be controlled by it. My joy in the Lord is not going to be controlled by a problem at work or a health problem. Or something else. Always. Again, he repeats it. I will say rejoice. That would be a good study. Maybe we could do that sometime. But Bible verses where something is repeated in the same verse. That's a good study. We're not going to be controlled by circumstances. And then the Apostle Paul says, let your forbearance be known unto all men. This is helping with anxiety because forbearance here means gentleness or moderation. And when we enter into the affairs of our life each day, if we enter into it with forbearance, moderation, gentleness, that's going to help with our anxiety. We're not going to be wound up as we deal with things. This word literally means someone who's willing to be easygoing, even when they can assert their rights, they're not going to do that. They're just gentle. Maybe sometimes our worry and our anxiety is because of like this type A personality where we're just blasting it head, you know, strong. And we get all wound up. And Paul says, be a gentle, moderate person. That's going to help with anxiety and worry. Paul is giving us the contextual surrounding thoughts that help us to put worry and anxiety out of our life. Turn with me to James chapter 3, where this word is put in between two other words, this wisdom that is from above. Wisdom from that is from above. Wisdom from God. God's word that comes from above. And chapter 2, we need to hear it and do it. Wisdom that is from above is first pure. Then look at these three words. Peaceable, gentle, that's the word here in Philippians 4:6, easy to be entreated. Peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated. That means someone can come to me and they feel comfortable coming to talking with Chris and he's not going to bite their head off. And you can approach him, easily approached. Look at those three words. And this is the type of person that is living by God's wisdom from above. But look at the contrast, brethren. The wisdom from below that is earthly, verse 15, is sensual, devilish. For where there is jealousy and faction, there's your biting and devouring and divisive. There is confusion in every vile deed. That's what the devil wants. He wants you to be borne down by anxiety and worry. And it causes confusion. It causes doubt. You start blaming God. You start saying, well, does God really care? And it causes problems. That's what the devil wants. God, wisdom from above, wants us to have these other qualities in our life. So forbearance and moderation, your version might say. As we approach things at work and school and other places, that helps a lot. That helps a lot. And then Paul says, unto all men. Again, being consistent and constant. It's easy to be gentle around people that are close to us, but the other people that we have to engage in, again, at work or school or other places, well, I don't want to be gentle among them. And we get wound up again instead of easy going. And it causes a lot of worry and anxiety. And we find ourselves complaining about that person at work or that other person. And maybe if we would have handled that better with moderation and gentleness, it wouldn't be as much of a problem. So we don't do that just with our brethren here at Warfield Boulevard, but when we step out of this building with the server at lunch at the restaurant or somewhere else, we do it with them as well. Look with me at verse 5. This is a great statement that will help with worry and anxiety. The Lord is at hand. This phrase can be taken in one of two ways. It can be taken to mean the Lord is coming, the second coming of the Lord. There are some contexts where that is probably the best way to handle that. And if that is the case, then it would be the idea that always remember that Jesus Christ is coming and be ready for that and be prepared for that, and we're not going to have worry and anxiety. We want to be right with the Lord. We want to go be with Him in heaven. And so we're thinking about the second coming of Christ. Another way that this can be taken, and I believe that it's better here, it's the idea that the Lord is, His divine presence is with us. And knowing that the Lord is at hand with us right now in this room, it helps us with our anxiety, knowing that we can turn to Him and call upon Him. He's not asleep up in heaven somewhere. He's not way off in heaven. He doesn't know what's going on in my life. He's near. He's at hand. And that's a comfort, and that's a consolation, and that's a blessing. Let's look at a few passages. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 7. Israel was reminded from time to time of this very matter. The Lord is at hand, and He can help you and me. We don't have to be burdened with anxiety and worry. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 7. What great nation is there that has a God so near unto them as Jehovah our God is whensoever we call upon Him? Near. Turn with me to Psalm 34 and verse 18. It doesn't matter where you are, the Lord is near. We need to remember that. And we need to turn to Him for help. Jehovah is near unto them that are of a broken heart and saves such as are of a contrite spirit. Psalm 119, 151. Have we fully utilized God? Have we fully utilized God in getting help for my anxiety and worry? Have we fully utilized Him in prayer and in a study of His Word? He stands ready to help. Psalm 119, 151. Thou art near, O Jehovah, and all Thy commandments are truth. In Psalm 145 and verse 18. Jehovah is near unto all them that call upon Him, to all that call upon Him in truth. In truth, or in the Lord. If we're living the faithful Christian life that we need to be living, we can have a God that is near us. And so many people today turn to so many other things to get help, and they leave God out. He's near and He's ready to help us. Let's turn to Him. Paul says, in nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Everything. Every situation. Sometimes we will worry and get anxious about something and we don't realize that it falls under this purview. It's everything. Everything throughout the day. And God already knows what we need, Matthew 6, 8. He already knows what we need. But He wants us to ask and come to Him in faith. He wants us to show that we rely upon Him. He already knows what we need. But He's looking for that faith that will reach out and cry to Him. And we brought this passage up last week, James 4, 2. James says, you do not have because you do not ask. That is one problem that brethren face. Oh, I forgot to ask about that. I got all worked up, and looking back on it now, I didn't even go to God in prayer on that one. I've been guilty of that. I've been guilty of that. Oh, I didn't even pray about that one. So Paul is saying, in everything, this should be just a regular situation for us, that when we're facing one of these cares that could easily distract us, we just, well, we're gonna go to God in prayer and make requests for this. It should be our regular approach throughout the day to things. Prayer is not just a church thing, inside of a church building thing. Prayer is not just right before a meal. That's a great time to do it. And of course we pray in the assembly. But it needs to be something, it needs to be our go-to default for these kinds of things in our life. With thanksgiving, this is going to help with anxiety and worry. Where the prayer and supplication is with thanksgiving. I was noticing in preparation for this lesson that the times that the phrase with thanksgiving is used in the New Testament, it's always with prayer. Having a grateful heart, someone who has gratitude in their lives and is so thankful for what God gives them, that's actually going to help with worry and anxiety. Because we're focusing on the good things that God gives us, and if we're worried about something and we're focusing on how thankful we are for what God, we realize, oh, this thing over here, that's not really a problem like I thought it was. I'm so grateful for what God gives me each day. And this is so great that this little thing out here kind of goes away. So we must always pray with thanksgiving. When we let our requests be made known unto God. Telling God helps. And Peter will say the same thing as the Apostle Paul when in 1 Peter chapter 5 he says to cast all of your anxiety or care, not some of it, not most of it, but casting all your anxiety upon Him because He cares for you. Did you do that? Did you cast it on Him before you got all worked up? Before I got all worked up? It's a great reminder. I'm glad that we're calling attention to something that is very common around the world. And I'm glad that we're looking again at the context to learn how that God can give us help with these things. Paul says, "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus." Turn with me to John 14:27. This is divine peace. This is not man's peace. This is not the peace that the world might offer. This comes from God, and it'll help us. There is a peace that is out in the world, but it doesn't help us with this problem. Peace at all cost, or peace by turning a blind eye to sin. There's a lot of ways that the world tries to have peace. Peace by compromise. Peace by not bringing up certain things. I don't want the peace that is in the world. I want the peace that comes from God in Christ, where it starts from the inside out, being right with God, with sin removed, and a peaceful conscience. And we can put our head down at night and go to sleep and know that we're right with God. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives. Give I unto you. The world can give you peace, but it's not the peace that you want or need. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be fearful. On the night of Jesus' betrayal, between what we call the Last Supper and Him going to the Garden of Gethsemane and John 18:1, crossing over the Kidron Valley, Jesus helps them with their trouble. Troubled hearts. What are you troubled about today? What am I troubled about? What are you troubled about? Let's put these principles into place so that we can go out without anxiety and worry. And it begins by being a faithful Christian. God has a peace, Jesus has a peace that is not of the world. It's one that will actually help you. And Paul says that it passes all understanding. This is a great word. It's actually used twice, two other times in this same book. It's a word that means to excel or to be greater than. It's used back in chapter 2 and verse 3 that we are to consider our brother better than ourselves. In chapter 3 and verse 8, Paul talks about the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. God's peace is superior, it's excellent, it's better. And we cannot fully understand all of the ways in which it can help us. It passes, surpasses, excels all understanding. Anything you can think of where you would need God's peace, it can do that, and even stuff you can't think of. So the next time we have a particular issue with something going on in our life, believe me, God can handle that. His peace is not limited. His peace is not inferior. It's superior. It's not bound. Anything you can think of, it can handle, and even beyond what you can think. And then last of all, Paul says that this peace of God, and by the way, if you look at the end of verse 9, he brings up the peace of God again. Paul is writing a book to the Philippian brethren. And when you turn back to Acts 16, you find that it was a difficult place to be in. Where was Paul and Silas when they got to Philippi? In some 5-star hotel? They were in a jail for doing the Lord's work. It's a difficult place to be, that Philippi. And Paul and Silas are in a jail and they're singing and happy at midnight. And where is Paul when he's writing this epistle? He's in this Roman house arrest at the end of Acts 28. And he's saying, brethren, we need to be joyful. You're living in a very difficult place. I'm in a difficult place. But let's not be anxious and worry. But let's be happy. The very moment Paul penned these words, he was in a difficult place. And this peace will guard your hearts and thoughts. This is a word that was commonly used for a military soldier. I appreciate all of our soldiers. To be a sentry, to be a watch, to be a guard. And boy, when you've got God guarding your hearts and thoughts, boy, that's a good thing. That's a pretty good soldier. And God is going to stand guard and help our thoughts and our hearts. But we've got to do these other things that we talked about. This comes at the end of several things that Paul says we need to do. And at the very end, you're going to get guarded. What a great thought. Well, this morning, we're reminded that there's just so many people out there with worry and anxiety. Some attribute it last year to the election year. Of course, prior to that, they attributed it to COVID. But there'll be all kinds of other things that come up. And when we have a peaceful heart, like we need to have, then we can really go out and help others. There's a lot of people around us that need help. But we can't help them if we're all wound up ourselves with worry and anxiety. We cannot help them. And if we're burdened and brought down, in fact, some of the Proverbs speak of that, a broken heart or a burdened heart that is borne down by worry and anxiety. We can't help others. So let's put these things into practice in our lives. Let's go out happy. Let's go out peaceful. Continue that each and every day. And help others around us with this peace that passes all understanding. If it begins for you this morning by coming and putting on Christ in baptism, let us help you to do that. If you need to come back to the Lord in some way, let us help you to do that. What a great thing to hear that God's Word is helping people's lives. What a great thing to hear about that. And let's take it and help others with it. We're going to stand and sing the song of invitation. If you'll come and let your needs be made known, we'll be glad to help you. Why won't you come as we stand and sing?